and we start grumbling about prayers He's already answered. We'll ask God, oh God, give me a ministry in the church, and then someone will do something wrong. That's it, I'm out of here. I don't know why I'm in this in the first place. God's saying, oh, I answered your prayers. How many of us have prayed for a wife? And now we grumble. How many of you prayed for a husband? And now you want God to take him back.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. How many times have you wished that God would speak to you, just reveal His will for your life, answer all the questions you have about the future? But you may be surprised to find out that God does speak to us and you can hear His voice each and every day. Later on this program, we're going to hear the testimony of a lady who had everything money could buy but didn't have happiness. Right now, Pastor Wayne Cordero with part two of the message, Missing the Mark.
Just the other day, someone said to me, Wayne, I'd obey God if God just talked to me. He said, have you heard God audibly? I said, yeah. You're kidding. Yeah. You haven't? No. I'll say, here, I'll show you how to hear Him audibly. You want to know how? Recite with me John 3:16. Ready? Go. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You just heard God speak audibly. That's right. Oh, He may have used your vocal cords and mine, but that here it is. Listen, God sounds just like the Bible. I know it's really hard to believe, but He does. Yeah, here's another profound statement. God's Word is the words of God. Profound, isn't it? You know, some people say, well, I'm waiting for God to speak. He has already. Obey what He's already revealed. Well, I need to hear Him audibly. Just say the scripture out loud then, because that's God's words. Just when you read it out loud. Did you know that the Jewish people, even till this day, quote the scriptures out loud? They don't read it silently. They actually read it out loud, all of their readings. In fact, in the book of Samuel, do you remember when Hannah was praying to God about conceiving? And she wasn't praying out loud. It said she was just moving her lips. She was silent. Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk because you're supposed to say it out loud. That's a Jewish tradition. So if you have a hard time hearing God's word audibly, just start reading your Bible out loud. It'll look a little strange when you're at a coffee shop and stuff and doing this, but that's all right. So you can hear it. God sounds just like the Bible. And don't get caught up in the myth that says, only when I hear God really speak to me, then I'll obey. Start by obeying what He's already revealed. Well, if God will send me a sign. No, don't wait for signs. The Bible says, an evil and adulterous nation seeketh after a sign, but no sign will be given them except the sign of Jonah, who was 3 days in the belly of a whale. So he was paralleling that likening to the Lord. In other words, if you can't hear God through Jesus Christ, don't wait for miracles, because you see, a sign points to a destination. Don't get enraptured with the sign. I had a kid in college that he decorated his room with signs that he had stolen, road signs. He had a stop sign, yield sign. I went into his room and I thought, ooh, this is really strange. Yeah, he said, I stole all these signs. Isn't this cool? I thought, what's so cool about this? And I wonder how many of us Christians are like that. We're just looking for signs, and we get enamored with signs. But a sign points. It's not a destination in itself. Will God do miracles? He does them all the time. But don't camp around the miracles. Go to where it's pointing you, to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see, it was on the Mount of Transfiguration when all the dust settled from Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah. He was up there, and the disciples got all excited, and the voice of the Father spoke out as He broke the silence, and He said, this is My beloved Son. Listen what? To Him. Because they were all excited. They wanted to build tabernacles to Moses and Elijah, and the Father said, this is My Son. Listen to Him. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. God, long before, spoke to the people through the prophets in many portions and in many ways. But in these last days, He's spoken to us in His Son. Hear Him. Hear what God is saying through Jesus. And it's already revealed. Don't get enamored with signs. Some time ago, I was going up to Volcano on the Big Island, and there is, right before the Volcano National Park, there's a big sign that says Volcano National Park, Kilauea Volcano, and a bunch of tourists were hanging around the sign, taking, you know, they had pictures taken, and I thought, that ain't the volcano, that's just a sign, it's a little further, and they were all huddled around the sign, you know, no, it's just a little bit more, it's right there, you can get the picture in the real place. And I thought, you know, that's like us, that's a bunch of Christians. We can get so enamored with just sign. Take a picture, here's a sign. And the Lord's saying, no, sign is pointing you to the real thing. Come on, enter the kingdom of heaven, lest you be operating at a high level of faith and miss the mark. Will God do miracles? Absolutely. Will God give us signs and wonders? Absolutely. But make sure it points you to Jesus Christ. Walk with him. He is the way, the truth, the life. He's the author and the finisher. He's the fountainhead. He's the one who is the source of life. Walk with him. And as you read the word of God, that's why it's so important to do your devotions, so you can hear the Lord speak to you daily. So start by obeying what he's already revealed. Okay, what has he already revealed? How can I start? Really easy. Would you write there in the first bullet there under number 3? Here's how you start. Steward the prayers that he's already answered. Steward the prayers he's already answered. Here's a real simple first step. What do you mean? Well, you steward the prayers. What kind of prayers has God already answered in your life? What has he done in your life? Have you prayed for something and God has answered them? Oh, I'm sure God has answered prayers. And so you start by stewarding it. Let's read Luke 16. Go. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Here's a great way to start. We pray, God answers. But sometimes we don't steward those answers very well. For example, New Hope is a growing church. And if there's anything that is a common element to growing churches, is growing pains. And so sometimes we'll come here to Farrington, we'll get a little upset. Look at this traffic jam here. Well, I'm having to wait. I got to wait 1 minute to get out to that road. And look at that. They have policemen over here. So crowded. I have to park at Kalakaua. I can't believe it. And I got to sit outside and see it by video. Oh, man, this is just terrible. What kind of church is this? You know what God says? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you talking about? This is terrible. It's too crowded. God is saying, I'm just answering your prayers. Well, what do you mean? Well, didn't you ask for the church to grow and reach people? Yeah, I answered your prayers. The parking lot's full, right? You know why a lot of times we see this stuff? It's because God's answering our prayers. What would the option be? You want to have like 500 parking spaces for one car? No. See, we've asked God to grow the church and use the word of God to reach people so that their lives will be changed, haven't we? And some of you are here because some people prayed that. And then we get upset, and God is saying, I answered your prayers. What are you grumbling about? How many of us have prayed for a wife? And now we grumble. How many of you prayed for a husband? And now you want God to take him back? Now, sometimes you pray for a wife and God doesn't answer. I remember I saw the beauty of a babe in high school and said, oh, God, make her my wife. I saw her at our 20th reunion. I'm so glad he didn't answer. Joke, that's just a joke. But sometimes we pray for a wife and now we're just grumbling. What kind of woman is this? Get her out of here. I remember when my wife was pregnant, I was praying, oh, God, just make those kids come out okay, you know. Oh, God, now I got 3 of them. I don't know what to do with them, you know. And we start grumbling about prayers he's already answered. We'll ask God, oh, God, give me a ministry in the church, and then someone will do something wrong. That's it. I'm out of here. I don't know why I'm in this in the first place. God's saying, oh, I answered your prayers. Now you want the world to revolve around you? I'm not here to bless you. I'm here to build you. And you need to cooperate with me, and you need to steward the prayers I've already answered. Because listen carefully, if you grumble and get mad about prayers I've already answered, if you get mad and grumble about those, why should I answer anymore? Sometimes we get mad at God. How come you're not answering prayers? Because you haven't stewarded what I've already answered. Why should I answer more? You're just going to grumble more. And you'll be of no use to the cause of Christ because I'm answering your prayers. Listen, steward them well. It doesn't mean that when God gives you something, you just kind of go on cruise control. No, you must steward it. It's like my kids, Daddy, Daddy, give me a cat, get me a cat. I get him the cat. Guess who's feeding the cat now? You see, steward them well. And so if God answers prayer that you've prayed, there's some things that have to, responsibilities that have to be maintained. Don't think we can abdicate them. And when it gets infected, we blame God for having answered our prayers. God is saying, be good stewards, learn. And once you do that, then you begin to understand what it means to be a disciple. And God begins answering prayers. And guess what? You grow in the process. And God builds you. And there's times he's got to scrape back down, doesn't he? So he can build in solid rock. It's okay, because we're beginning to understand what the kingdom of heaven is all about. You say, but Wayne, you know, there's sometimes, yeah, you're right, I just have some baggage. Maybe I should just bail out for a while until I get it all right. Mm-mm, don't do it. No, jump right in. With my baggage and problems, yep. Remember, outside of his embrace, you can't get your life together. Within his embrace, he embraces you and your foibles. And if you're willing for the Lord to go ahead and scrape down and build, then you'll end up with that problem transitioned out and pure heart being built and refined. Before we take communion, let me share with you a story that illustrates that. The story is told of a big strapping dad that was moving his library from an attic space to a more ample room downstairs in the house, and his young little 4-year-old son wanted to help daddy. He was kind of more in the way than a help, but his dad was a very patient dad. And he knew that spending time with his son was much more important than efficiently moving a pile of books. So little boy would struggle with one of the big reference books and stumble his way down, but he'd keep dropping the books, and dad was a little concerned about the books tearing, but it's okay, it's okay. The little boy also sensed his own frustration. And after about the 5th or 6th trip down, he stumbled again on the stairs and the book rolled down the stairs and kind of creased pages. And the boy sat down on the stairs and slumped his shoulders like this. I just can't do this. It's too heavy, he complained. And instead of the dad disqualifying him, that patient dad went down, picked up the book and straightened the pages, put the book back in the little boy's hands. You got it now? Yeah, but it's too heavy. No, no, do you have it? Yeah, I have it. And the dad took his huge arms and picked up both boy and book and carried him down to the downstairs library. The little boy put it in the shelf and he said, let's go back up. They went back up to the attic. The boy got another book. And dad picked up boy and book and carried him down. And they did that all day until the library was moved. And you know, I thought, isn't that just like Jesus? See, there's times we have burdens that we don't think we can bear. And we just say, disqualify us, Lord, until we can build the muscles to do this. And the Lord says, no, 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 no. Just keep your hand to the plow. Don't sell out your faith. Don't give up. Don't exclude yourself, but keep a good heart. Keep a willingness to be open so that I will not just bless, but build. And you'll sense the strong arms of your Lord pick you and the burden up and carry you. That's what Jesus does. And in his arms, our lives begin to be transformed from glory to glory into his image. And you begin to understand how precious the kingdom of heaven is.
Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you.
Pastor Pastor Wayne will be back in just a moment. But right now, a testimony from Sylvia Waiwaoli.
Today I have a story to share about God's power and faithfulness. I was born into a very religious family. I knew of God, but I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I was married at the age of 18, but by the time I was 33, I went through a very painful divorce. Overnight, I was left with four children to support. I found a job washing dishes for Pan American Airlines that allowed me to be with my children when they came home from school. A year later, I moved on to another company, and my life quickly became a whirlwind of success. Measured by the world standards, I had it all. Within 10 years, I had earned 5 Lincoln Continentals, trips around the world, diamonds, money that flowed through my fingers, and properties worth millions of dollars. In fact, there was an article published in the newspaper about me. The caption below the picture read, "Confidence is worth more than all the money in the world." During my years of being a successful business person, many people tried to tell me about Jesus. I was always on the defensive. And then God got my attention. An equally successful man and his wife had seen the article in the paper and came to visit. There was something so different about them, a peace that I couldn't understand. During their visit, the first question they asked me was, if I knew Jesus. I got defensive again. Then God got my attention a second time. This time, he sent a minister to my home. During the course of conversation, the minister said to me, "I'm sure you must be grateful for all the Lord has done in your life." I asked myself, how grateful am I really? I hadn't given God a second thought. I felt I had done it all on my own. By this time, although I had success by some people's definition, my life was falling apart. My boys were on drugs. My 16-year-old daughter was pregnant. And my 15-year-old daughter was beaten up by a drug addict. My life was a mess. I felt that I had cheated God with what was rightfully his. I had blown so much of his money on unnecessary things and risky investments and neglected the family he gave me to love. It was about this time that I was invited to attend a church service. The minister said, "Someone here needs to know that Jesus loves you and he wants to come into your heart." It was at that point that I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. I fell on my knees and I began to cry. I saw the selfishness of my life. I had not made room for him, and yet he had entrusted me with so much. What had I done with all he had given me? Although God had begun his work in me, my family was still in shambles, and my financial success did not last. God started pruning all areas of my life. I had it all. And I lost it all more than once. I was back to working 7 days a week when suddenly I had a rude awakening. I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I realized then that the giver of life could take my life at any time, and nothing of this world that I had worked so hard for really belonged to me. This time, I totally surrendered my life to God. I dedicated my house to the Lord and started using it for His purpose. I started using my time to serve the Lord in different ministries. God became first in my life, and I desired to live according to His instructions. I learned about the principle of tithing, how God owns it all, and I realized that all I had belonged to Him. I began giving faithfully and cheerfully. 10% of everything I earned before taxes or anything else. And God began to trust me. My life was finally in alignment, and I am in awe at the blessings God has poured and continues to pour into my life. He brought me to new hope, and He allowed me the greatest gift any mother could ask for. And that was my children coming to know Him as their Lord and Savior. He put my family back together again, a family united through His love. It is such a blessing to see my children today volunteering their services and getting involved at New Hope. He also restored my finances, and I thank Him daily with a grateful heart. I keep God at the top of my priority list and constantly remind myself that it all belongs to Him. My prayer for each of you here today is that you would trust the Lord in every area of your life and steward well the possessions He entrusts to you, large or small. Thank you, and God bless you.
Jesus, draw me closer and closer, closer, Lord, to you. For I desire to worship and obey. For I desire.
As we take communion today, that's what the cross is all about, where He who loves us more than anyone ever could paid the price to redeem our souls, because that's the most expensive part of us. Bankrupted heaven, as it were, to pay the price, shed in His blood, the blood of Christ, so that we'll no longer need to be on the auction block. We don't have to have a faith, an integrity, a commitment, a devotion that's shifty and compromisable, for sale to the highest bidder. No, you're not for sale. You know why? Because you can't sell something that you don't own. You've been purchased with a price. You've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. And as we take communion, would you let that statement be made? Lord, I've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And even though I have mistakes and foibles, the cup is a cup of the new covenant shed in His blood for the forgiveness of sins. And this bread is His body that was broken for us. He paid the price so that we'll get off the auction block. But I'm not good enough to be a Christian. No, no, you never will be. But the fact is, His embrace is enough to carry you and our mistakes until we're changed into His likeness. Communion's gonna come around, and the ushers, would you go ahead and come on down, ushers? They're gonna pass out to you a cup and a piece of bread, and would you just hold it until everyone is served? And then listen, allow the Lord to do some stuff inside of you, carry on some spiritual business, prepare your hearts so that when we make this declaration that, Lord, I belong to You and You've purchased me, it will be a declaration made from a heart that resounds His glory.
I believe, I'll obey. I receive all of the joy You have. for me. Where you lead me, I will go. I entrust my life to you. I entrust my life to you. I believe I'll obey. I receive all of the joy.
Heard part two of the message Missing the Mark by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and a